You've all got Numbers, chapter 20 in front of you from verse 1 to 13. So I'm addressing the question, as I said at the beginning, why should we trust God? The Apostle Paul encourages us to be ready to give a reason for the truth that we believe. And it's kind of a genre of apologetics. It's saying, can you find evidence for why you believe what you believe? And so I'm doing a little bit of apologetics in a sense here. The Bible is full of a lot of evidence and reasons why God is worthy of our trust. And the gospel accounts in the New Testament are a brilliant place to start. Okay, good place to start. But I've decided to go with the Old Testament, partly because I love the Old Testament, but also because I think there's a lot there that God has to say to us. Now, sometimes I know, I don't know about you, but sometimes we struggle, people struggle with the Old Testament stories, trying to contextualize them with today and find them really hard. But I've tried to go for a story that, A, I think might not be that complicated, but also one that might be familiar to you. So that's Numbers 20, verse 1 to 13. So where have I gone with this subject? As I said, because many Christians have come to points in their lives of wanting to give up. Life sometimes gets tough. People let us down. We face pain, suffering, tests, trials, disappointments, and feel lost and ask, if there is a God, why isn't he doing something? I feel that the Lord wants to remind us of, A, his character, that he is faithful. And yes, that we can and should trust him. And he wants to minister encouragement to us. No one does that better than God. The Holy Spirit is the best encourager. We can try, but he does it better than we do. So let us pray. Lord, our holy God, we pray that we shall remember to look to you for your character and for what you have done and are doing and are able to do, and therefore trust you. Amen. So why should we trust God? I've just picked out three things. One, because he cares. We trust God because he cares. We trust God, too, because he is just. He's a God of justice. He's a holy God. He's a powerful God. So he's worth trusting. And three, we trust God because he is merciful and compassionate. He's a God of mercy, he's a God of compassion. This nature of God is made real to us in the person of Jesus. His life, his death, and his resurrection. So back to our Numbers reading here, Numbers 21 to 13. I would like to draw your attention by trying to get us to understand the context a little bit. Because our reading here comes after something has happened before, okay? Now, what happens before? I've got a video clip which is taken from one of my old favorites, the Ten Commandments. Anybody ever watched the Ten Commandments? Yes, it's really old. Chris was telling me, oh, the graphics on that. So it's the Ten Commandments. It's an old clip. The scene is set that the Egyptian army with their horses and chariots are after the children of Israel, hunting them down, chasing them down. They want to destroy them, to wipe them out. And these children of Israel are on foot. Okay, so the others are on horse and chariot. These are on foot. The others are strong and mighty and really fast. These guys are tired. They are struggling. They are slow. Families, little children, older people, trying, struggling along. They're in the wilderness. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're full of pain and complaint. Their life is bleak and hopeless for them. They're looking to Moses and complaining to Moses, and Moses is looking at them and he's fed up of them. All this stuff is happening around them, but Moses knows where to look. He knows that there's a rock. So watch this clip and then I'll pick up from there. Thanks. Isn't that a wonderful film? I know, great graphics, but a good picture of the power of God. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 1, you find Moses and the Israelites responding to that incident there in song. They sing something like, "He drowned them, he drowned them, he took Pharaoh's army and drowned them." Something like that. You can find that in chapter 15, verse 1. You can't find that tune, but you can find the lyrics there. So, number one, why do we trust God? Because he cares. Okay, so in our story, it has been 37 years or 40 since the Exodus, is what we have seen there. So most of those who witnessed this miracle are actually not alive. Many of them who witnessed that are not there. So some of them have not really seen this hand of God. And the people are still, again, like they were at that point, they are struggling, they're in the wilderness, they are hungry, they're thirsty, they're in pain, they're suffering, and they're turning again to Moses. And they're saying to Moses, "Why have you brought us here? Why are you not doing anything to us?" In addition to that, one of their leaders, one of their key leaders, Miriam, who was a prophetess, has just died. So they are looking not only to Moses for help, but they're also in pain and mourning and thinking, our leader is gone. Life is getting more and more hopeless here. And they're looking at Aaron as well. But then what's interesting is how Moses responds. So Moses and Aaron together go to God. They go to God, and we can see in verse 3 to 5, Moses and Aaron are making their feelings and frustrations known. Well, the people are making their feelings and frustrations known to Moses and Aaron in verse 3 to 5. But in verse 6, Moses and Aaron go to the Lord, their God, and see what God does. God listens to them, and he hears them, and he gives them instruction on how to meet the people's needs. God says in verse 7 and in verse 8 exactly what they need to do. And God, in doing this, is in a place saying, I want to reveal myself to these people, perhaps who have not seen that miracle of the Exodus. I'm a God who listens and cares. I want to show them that I do. And maybe in our lives, we might be in a place where we're saying, God, I haven't experienced your hand in the way that other people are saying. Please, can you do something for me? And maybe God might be wanting to do something like this for some of us, to say, I listen and I care, and I'm going to reveal myself to you in a very specific way. That might be a word for you to hold on to. The Lord Yahweh says he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. That's the message for us today. He has not changed. That same God who performed that miracle, and people have tried to trace, did this Exodus really happen? Was the Red Sea really parted? And they found evidence for the chariots having been drowned there. So that's evidence of that. Yes, it really did happen, and God really does care. But he also wants to change things for Moses. He's trying to say, this trust thing, Moses, it's not just about you. You saw him holding his staff. He was so used, many of the miracles that he performed, that's how it happened, wasn't it? So put that rod and the staff down, pick it up, and something happens. God is trying to change something here. The second thing, reason why we need to trust God, is because he is just and holy. And just touching on to that, I know that for me, and maybe for you, sometimes I rely on my own tried and tested ways. Ways I've always done something, ways I've always prayed, and it's always worked. But God perhaps is trying to say here, not just to Moses and to the children of Israel, but also to us, that why don't we be open to God, as the theme is for this evening. Why don't we be open to Him, perhaps to do something new, something different. And remember that He is just and holy. So in verse 9 to 11, we see Moses and Aaron go out to do what the Lord had instructed. But do they? Do they really do what God had instructed? They go out, and Moses is really angry as well. So the people, you know, the people's complaining and quarreling has gotten to him. And the other time with the Exodus, it got to him, and he's had this habit of turning to God. But this time, I think he's saying, maybe I'm having enough of this. It's getting to me. And leaders sometimes get to those places. Maybe parents, or in your job, or in a situation where a situation of responsibility. Sometimes you might think, I've been doing this for so long, I am about to throw the towel in. Or, God, I've always obeyed you and done exactly what you're saying, but maybe this time I might just do it my way. Maybe that doesn't happen to you, but it's happening to Moses here. And so Moses himself then calls those people rebels. And instead of responding to what God has asked him to do, he strikes that rock twice, more than once, doesn't he? And he's almost taking that instruction in his own hands. He's taking it in his own hands. He's not following God in the way that God has called him to. So this just God tells him that he will not cross into the promised land. He's a just God. Yes, we know that he is caring, like we've said at the beginning, but he is also a just God. And so because they've sinned, Moses and Aaron have sinned, he says to them that they will not, Moses will not go into the promised land. Just pause for a moment and think how painful that must be for Moses to hear. This is this leader who has been leading God's people through hardship for a long time. Maybe he's come to a place of thinking, I know it all. I've been doing this. I know exactly what to do. I know how it's done. And God is saying, trust me. It's still me. I'm still the same God, Yahweh, who hasn't changed. Trust me. But thirdly, God is merciful. He is merciful and full of compassion. God's mercy is shown clearly here because he chooses not to destroy these rebels, as Moses calls them, but also chooses not to destroy maybe the real rebels in this situation, who are Moses and Aaron, who have not done what God has asked them to do. He doesn't strike them dead, but he shows them how their end would be. So he said that he would lead them up the mountain and receive them himself. That's a God of mercy, isn't it? Because they've responded, they haven't obeyed his instruction the way he asked them to, and yet he says, I won't destroy you. I still love you. Yes, a God of justice, we know that sin has its consequences, evil gets punished, which is a good thing for us to know in terms of we need to revere God and obey him and respect him for who he is, but also knowing for ourselves in confidence that he's our rock, he's our defender. When things are done that are evil or wrong towards us, he defends us and protects us. That's a good thing to know. He's a God of justice. So he's a God who cares, he's a God of justice, but he's also a God of mercy and compassion. In the Gospels, we hear time and time again that Jesus was moved with compassion. Before he performed miracles, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. He didn't just perform the miracles for show. but from a place of compassion. As I finish, for us this evening, just very specifically, I just get a strong sense that many of us need to be encouraged, to be reminded, maybe a bit like the children of Israel, that God hasn't changed. That same God who performed miracles, that same God who took care of the children of Israel in the wilderness, cares for you. And cares for you by name. He knows your specific situation as an individual. The stuff that you've cried about for a long time, he knows. You don't have to pretend before him because he made you and he knows whatever it is that you go through. So he wants to remind you that he listens and he cares. If you go to him like Moses and Aaron did, he listens and he cares. People might not listen and care, he does. Two, that he's a God of justice, and that's encouraging. It could be scary, but it's encouraging to know that he defends us. He's the defender of the weak. But three, that he's a God of mercy and compassion. Sometimes things might be against us, but God can turn things around for good. And the way he does that, the way he deals with Moses and Aaron there in that situation, he doesn't reject them. It's a bit like the prodigal son story, isn't it? The father has open arms always, always. It doesn't matter how big and how wide and how far we get things wrong or run away. He's always there. He's a God of mercy and compassion. We're going to worship some more. Ash is going to lead us. And for this next bit, you might just want to spend time in God's presence, either on your own, just singing and allowing him by his Spirit to bring encouragement and restoration and revival to your soul, to your spirit. It might be that for some of you, you want prayer for something specific. You might want to make that prayer on your own as we worship, and that's okay. There's lots of space. Use this space here. You might want to stay in the same place or move around. But it might be that maybe you want prayer from myself or one of the leaders here. I'm around and I will be here. I'm going to stand over there. So do come if you want specific prayer. But let's know God. The reason for this evening, trusting God, is not about the words that I've shared. It's more to press in to the Spirit of God and know in confidence that he cares. He listens and cares. He's a God of justice and he's a God of mercy and compassion. Let's stand together.